It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Milwaukee Brewers, they're at home for another three-game series. Game one against the Kansas City Royals tomorrow at American Family Field. We check in on how the Brewers look this season amid changes to Major League Baseball and what about those stadium renovations back and forth. Call in at any point to talk baseball. Join with your questions, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. J.R. Radcliffe is here, sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. J.R., welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, let's start with the rule changes first. First year in MLB history where players are subject to this pitch clock. And, you know, pitchers now have 15 seconds to throw the ball. We're now more than a month, 6 weeks into the season. How is the pitch clock affecting the game?
We are seeing the shortest games that we've seen since 1984. They are way under 3 hours. I think the average game time across all of baseball is, last I checked a couple days ago, was 2 hours and 39 minutes, which is a far cry from where we've been the last few years. We've been well over 3 hours. So it's nice for somebody like me who has young kids and can't go to the park, or at least can't expect to see much of the game if I go to the park, because I've always sort of planned in my head, well, maybe we can make it to the sixth, or maybe we make it to the sausage race in the seventh. And we, you know, now we can see almost all of the game. It's made things a lot, certainly made things easier for the people. The people don't care about what the journalists think, but it is nice to know that you are not going to be committed to a 3.5-4 hour game if things get long. Even when teams score a lot of runs, the Brewers on Monday night scored 9 runs against the Dodgers, and that was still under 3 hours. All these games are under 3 hours. So it has definitely made the product better for, in my opinion, made the product better, swifter for fans. And the players love it because there are a lot of games that get out of hand and they end up being 3.5-4 hours. And that hasn't been the case this year. So
do you think pitchers really love it? I do
think they do. There was an adjustment period for sure. That was all through spring training. And yeah, they're working faster than they previously had to do. And there are some quirks, some nuances, and things that we're kind of still working through. But I do think the players ultimately love the upbeat tempo of the game, the rhythm of the game. And I think it keeps them more engaged, just like it keeps fans more engaged.
I was chuckling because MLB called the rule changes making the game crisper, more engaging, more athletic, more entertaining. It sounds like you're kind of nodding your head yes to that.
Absolutely. And I tell you, I was a skeptic. I felt like it was when this was first being proposed a few years ago and implemented in the minors as far back as 2015, I thought it was kind of meddling with baseball, you know,
with like tradition.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the game just does not have a clock. That's not how the game is supposed to operate. But I have to admit, they understood it maybe better than I could have then, because it has really freshened things up. The action, you know, it's all the same action. It's the same outcomes. It's just we've cut down on superfluous time in between, you know, like stuff that didn't need to be there. And it's really made things a lot more fun. A lot more fun to go to a game and a lot more fun just to watch, knowing that things are going to be moving as fast as they are.
What about base sizes and what you see there in enlarging the bases?
So, yes, the bases are slightly bigger. It's fairly, I would say, imperceptible for maybe the average person. But the idea there was to encourage more base stealing. And we have seen more base stealing, for sure. A lot more action on the bases. The whole point being we're going to make this game more exciting. And we're going to have people running all over the place. Speed is going to be a big deal. I would say it's probably less about the bases than it is that one of the rules with the pitch clock is pitchers are only allowed to, the word is disengagement. They're only allowed to basically step off the mound twice for an at-bat. And after that, if they do it again and they don't, it doesn't directly lead to an out, there's a penalty involved. The players are going to get to move up a base. It's going to be a balk, or it could be a ball on the batter. So players on the base paths know that that pitchers are only going to throw over to first base a pretty much a maximum of 2 times per batter. Once they've done that, now you have a lot more leeway, because if they throw over again and they don't get you out, they're going to be penalized for it. So it's a situation where that has encouraged, that's a little more nuancey, but that has encouraged a lot more base running. And we're seeing it. It's just across the board. People are stealing left and right, and it has brought speed back to baseball, basically.
What about reducing collisions and safety?
I don't think the newest batch of rules really address that.
Okay.
A few years ago, there was a move to to cut down on collisions at home plate specifically.
Yeah.
Catchers are not allowed to stand in the path of the ball. That has accomplished the goal, I would say. There's still a few collisions here and there. It's just bound to happen, but I think with that new rule in place, and it has been for a few years, that has made the game quite a bit safer.
So the Brewers, for the first time, will be playing at least one series against every other team in the MLB. What's the significance of playing more teams?
I mean, it's cool for fans because you get to see teams every year. You know, Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, who are two of the most exciting players in baseball, they play for the Angels in the American League. Under the old scheduling format, the Brewers would play that team once every 3 years and play that team at home once every 6 years. So there's a good chance you never see some of the best players. If they're in the American League, there's a good chance you don't see them or you see them one time. And that's now different. They're going to play every team one series against every team, not always at home. Like they won't play the Angels in California this year. They'll play them there next year. The Kansas City, who's coming into town, they'll play Kansas City on the road next year. But they will get to see every team in the American League once, and then every team in the National League twice, which was always been the case. And they still will see teams in their division more often than other teams, but that's cut back a little bit. It used to be that there was just a ton of games against your division,
mm-hmm.
and that's cut back. So it makes things more balanced for one thing. You know, every team is seeing every team. Previously, that wasn't the case, so that should theoretically make things a little more even across all the teams. It also means you can't just beat up on bad teams in your division. The Brewers have had that advantage in the past, and other teams in the Central have had that advantage. And now they don't get as many games against the Reds or the Pirates. If the Pirates are struggling, they're not this year yet, but you know that would be a team that the Brewers have made a lot of hay against. You gotta beat some teams that you don't see every day. So I'm sure that adds some
interest,
some tactical
intrigue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk refreshments at the game. You know, we saw this week the Brewers said they're ending beer sales after the seventh inning, and earlier this season they extended sales through the eighth inning in an effort to increase concession sales. Why revert to the old policy?
Well, I think it was an interesting experiment, maybe from their point of view. I think. It's logical to assume that with the game being so much faster, like we talked about,
mm-hmm.
that you're just not going to have as many sales because people aren't in the ballpark as long as they used to be. They're on average 30 minutes shorter in the ballpark. What we saw in the minor leagues is that it didn't really impact the game that much in terms of concession sales. You still had people who were in line to get their refreshments early on and maybe in the middle of the game, but then not so much late as they were kind of preparing, winding down to get to go home. You didn't have maybe that demand. And I understand why the Brewers and several other teams extended it, thinking we need to keep our beer sales. It seems like they just didn't really see enough of a difference to really keep that policy in place. It's obviously a little eye-opening if you're just concerned about, I mean, if you get a beer in the eighth, the game could be over in 10 to 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't think it makes sense as a fan. And it certainly adds a little bit of a safety layer to have people continuing to drink 10 to 15 minutes before they leave. So I think it was just a situation where they weren't seeing enough of a dramatic increase to keep doing it, you know, and it has been a tradition for a long time to stop sales after the seventh inning. I think that's probably the right play safety wise. And I think it's probably a situation where they just didn't see a huge enough, you know, change in people's habits by adding that extra inning.
J.R. Radcliffe, sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, as we look at the Brewers and what the season holds, perhaps looking at talent and the team's prospects to recapture the division title, maybe more. Join in on baseball at any point. Call in with your questions, your predictions. They're welcome as well. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get analysis on the Milwaukee Brewers season, the caliber of talent, and what we might expect at American Family Field with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports reporter J.R. Radcliffe here. Call in with the question, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's talk players. This season, 2018 Most Valuable Player, Christian Yelich, batting more than 40 points below his career average. What's going on?
Oh man, if they had the answer to that question, they would be so happy to implement whatever's going on. And obviously, for those who follow the team, this is a multi-year process for him. He has not been the same since 2019, when he was also excellent, tremendous numbers in 2019. Just has not been able to reclaim that. And I would say that this year is even a tick below what they've been able to get from Christian Yelich the last couple years. He's just offensively, anyway. He's just really struggling, and he's always had trouble sort of elevating the baseball, trouble keeping the ball off the ground, and right now it's kind of more of the same, and to an even more frustrating degree if you're a Brewers fan. The one thing you could say is that defensively he's actually improved a little bit, which I think is sort of interesting. Kind of came out of left field, I guess, pun intended, where he plays, but offensively they haven't seen it, and he's. You know, at this point, he's signed to a very lengthy, lucrative contract. I know that frustrates people. It's also, you know, even if you could get the production that you've gotten the last couple of years, it would be nice. So it's something that that definitely weighs on a lot of Brewers fans' minds.
What do you see going on the mound? What about pitching?
Pitching is kind of built to be this team's super strength. And I would say if this team is not superb pitching, they probably are just going to be an average to slightly above average team, because the offense isn't built to be this dynamic threat. It's primarily they do enough, and then the pitching takes it from there. Right now, they haven't seen it, and part of that is injury related. Brandon Woodruff, who's one of their best players, has been out. He made two starts this year, two excellent starts, and has a muscle injury in his shoulder that's going to keep him out until probably the All-Star break or later. So that's frustrating. Corbin Burns, who won the Cy Young a couple years ago, was excellent again last year. He's been fine, but he hasn't been special this year, and that's holding them back a little bit. Wade Miley, one of their offseason acquisitions, has actually been really, really good, really surprisingly so. He doesn't throw very hard. He's a guy who's been here before. He got roughed up a little bit yesterday, though, after a pretty promising start again. So they're just not seeing special starting pitching. Freddie Peralta's been good. I would say probably better than good. So that's encouraging. If those guys can't become like truly elite as a unit, I think that they're probably in for a rough go. That's supposed to be the thing that separates them from other teams.
So we should really take a watch here. Gus Varland back in the bullpen Tuesday after that hand injury. That sounded really painful, getting hit by a ball going that fast.
Yeah, and then he got hit again in his minor league rehab start. It didn't set him back or anything, but the guy cannot get out of the way of line drives. It's just terrible luck. He's interesting, Gus Varland is, because he's what's called a Rule 5 pick, which is sort of this mechanism in place where, long story short, he has to stay on the team all year, even though he's probably a guy who could pitch in the minors. That's probably caliber-wise where he's at right now. But if he stays on the team all year, the Brewers can keep him beyond this year. If they send him down, they have to give him back to the Dodgers. It's a long story. But so he's kind of in this in-between phase where they need to keep him there, but he's probably still he's learning on the job, essentially. But he has a lot of promise, and I think he could be a pretty solid arm for them, if not this year, definitely in the years ahead. So they've just got to kind of play that game and keep him around. Their bullpen's been better than expected. They've had a couple good performances, but I would say it's also not elite. They've got Devin Williams, who's their closer, tremendous, you know, no notes, awesome player. It's everybody else that you probably have to worry about. Who's the reliable eighth inning guy? Who's the reliable seventh inning guy? If they're winning, you know, they're still okay. They're better than anticipated in the bullpen, but I don't know if we're seeing them be, you know, anything beyond that just yet.
All right, thermometer there, Major League Baseball and the Brewers. J.R. Radcliffe, our guide, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports reporter. You can call in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your predictions. Let's go to Nancy now in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi.
Hello. I, for one, feel that because Mr. Attanasio is a multimillionaire, he should be responsible for at least half of this magnificently costly roof repair that we're facing here in Milwaukee. And I'm also wondering if you think that a city the size of Milwaukee can enthusiastically support a minor team. I think that's the same thing as a B team. When 22 years ago, when this Miller Park was being built, I felt that should have been renovated, not torn down, and a B team brought in when the Braves decided to move. I just think cities across America are being held hostage, absolutely held hostage, by these multimillionaire team owners who make these threats to move their team if their every demand is not met.
Nancy, thank you. The renovations tug of war. Go ahead, JR.
There's a lot there. Milwaukee has a long history of supporting minor league baseball, you know, since long before the Milwaukee Braves were here. So do I think it could support a minor league team? I do. Cities that have major league teams aren't going to have a minor league team as well, just in kind of the current system. And I would say that this town has really gone to bat for the Brewers. You know, they have they're middle of the pack in attendance, even though the market is absolutely the smallest media market in baseball. So I think Major League Baseball wants to stay in business in Milwaukee as much as it possibly can because of how successful it has been drawing people. There is a lot baked into the stadium financing situation. A lot of it comes from how the contract is drawn up with the stadium district and what the stadium district is ultimately, and stadium district is a government entity, what it's responsible for in terms of repair and renovation. There is a clause in there where if X number of stadiums have a certain amenity added to their place, then the stadium district is responsible for financing that part of it with American Family Field. So that can get very sticky and very complicated. I do think that there is a lot of consternation about owners. You know, I think the line is they're you know, making the financing public and then they're privatizing the profit, you know, that, and I understand certainly where people are coming from. Milwaukee is not unique in that sense. There are like the caller mentioned, there's a lot of situations where governments are paying hand over fist to finance these stadiums. And then the owners are the ones who ultimately benefit. So I understand the consternation for sure. I do think there are some pretty good qualities with the situation in Milwaukee, more so than other places. And, you know, I do think this is still a Major League Baseball town and is going to be for a really long time.
So really quickly here, the renovation fallout, you don't see the Brewers on the line leaving Milwaukee over this issue with renovations?
I really don't. And I know there's a lot of back and forth and plans being declared dead or whatnot. Primarily, when you get to a situation like this, you get a lot of bipartisan support. Nobody wants to be the one, the politician, who made it difficult for a pro sports team to stick around and then they leave. So eventually, you're going to get government support. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know, you know, who gets to, you know, take the photo ops. But it's really, really likely to get done. Because, like I said,
we'll be watching. JR, thanks for joining us. JR Radcliffe, sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.